Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to my show. Whatever it is tonight. Welcome to Open Poetry with Sweet Discussions. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful night because that's where I am tonight. Oh, good Lord. Yep, it's going to be one of those nights. I'm already having problems with converting things and getting things up and running. I don't even know what I have on my board in front of me, but this is it. Ah, yep, that's me. Everybody say hello to me and Reckontor here on Team of Voices as we're talking on all poetry and hanging out at Blog Talk. That's about it in a nutshell, isn't it, Rack? Because that's where I am. Thank God you're here. Otherwise, I'd be just talking to myself, which is kind of what I'm at right now. But, you know. I can't seem to get anything loaded into the studio because I can't get anything converted, and my world is kind of like, woo, it's where I'm at. Oh, I've got a lot of poetry to read then. Still working on getting that other stuff into the studio because nobody wants to hear me read. We're going to welcome Wayne in. Thank goodness, because I love to hear Wayne. Hey, Wayne, how are you tonight, babe?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. Still a wind. I'm still recovering, but I'm doing pretty good.
Good. I'm glad to hear your happy little voice, because Lord knows I need it right now.
It's not calling for to hear your voice.
good. My voice is a little like, wah, right now. But I'm working on it. Oh, my goodness. I'm having so many problems right now. I'm trying to deal with the studio, and it's not dealing with me, and it's just, I'm all like, Maha, why? Just having one of those moments.
Because you're too hot to handle. It's because you're too hot to handle.
I must be something tonight. I don't know if that's too hot to handle, or it's just, you know, let's just screw with the little redhead tonight. I'm not quite sure what it is. Oh, my goodness. That's all right. I'll be all right. See, this is just not. I don't want a video converter. I don't want that. I just want MP3 to MP3 files.
I think you could probably do WMA too, if you have to. I'm pretty sure the studio handles WMA.
All right. I could do a lot of things, but, you know, I'm trying to just do what I need to do. But no, it's not going to be that easy for me now, is it? No. That's okay.
Just trying to get by.
Just that's what I do. Oh, that's good. Let's go have a drink. What are we drinking tonight? Because that's something I want.
Wayne brought the bourbon.
Oh, Wayne, you're a good man. That's what I need.
You can relax, get a little massage, and then come back and do it again.
Oh, I'm good with that. Let's do that. I'm getting that. Let's just go there. If anybody
like
wants
plan,
to get
Wayne.
Drinking, I'm up for that.
Just don't push the blue button.
Oh, are you saying not to push the blue button or not to give the blue pill? I get very confused about those two.
It's not the red one.
Why does it hurt when you laugh? Don't laugh.
I'm still looking just. I'm still getting well, but I'm about done. Hey, I'm relaxing.
Still hurting?
Do it tonight.
You know, I still have Deb is still not feeling well. I still have had her out. This has not been good for everybody.
What's wrong with Deb?
Deb has COVID.
She's not feeling well.
Oh, she got COVID too? Oh.
Yeah, she does.
It's rough. I was going to hit her up, but, you know, something you got to do.
Yeah, I'm not doing good with this. Not doing good at all with the whole COVID thing.
If she calls in, I'm going to get an ear infection?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Contagious. I know that. It's
I'm hoping
contagious. I've been fully vaccinated and everything, and it's got me. So,
I'm worried about that because I've been vaccinated and I've done all that, and
yeah.
I'm still having problems, and that's just
it's
not cool.
Not at all.
I want to stay vaccinated, and it is a bad bug, and I don't like that at all.
Either.
So we got everybody that's been through it and all of that. I hope everybody's doing well. And Wayne, we're gonna have you read so that you don't have to worry about things anymore.
That'd be good. I might be on mute for a while, but I'll be here. You ready for me to read?
I am. I got to go through your poem up there.
Okay. This is the poem I wrote it. I wrote this poem this week. It's kind of a.
Did you write this, Deb?
Me?
All right, hold on. Copy. I am having problems with my computer. I am not. This is not going to be a good night for me, guys. Except that you're here, and that makes my life so much better.
All right. I think when you confuse you, it's
there
hot.
You go. There you go, darling.
Okay. I can
You're
on
the
sit
board.
Here, but I'll go ahead and start from my maybe my computer. But anyways, this is called Glad to Meet You. It's a real philosophical type poem. Glad to meet you. Walking down beach, saw a diamond in the sea. Only a bottle with a note made after me. Said, don't know who you are or where from. I'm looking just like you. Sounds dumb. All my life I've been looking, but for what? Could get satisfied with what I got. With a piece of paper and pen, I wrote this note. Through an ocean from my boat. Never enough to look anymore since the bottle came ashore. He was right. I no longer felt alone. Threw the bottle back to sea and walked home. Ian?
Oh, wow. I like that. Through the ocean to my boat. Now we don't have to look anymore since this bottle came ashore. I no longer felt alone. Threw the empty bottle to sea and walked home. Huh. Now, I've always wondered what those messages in the bottles actually tell people. And then I wonder if I threw one in, would it come back to me? With my luck, it would come back to me, and I'd have the same message. Like, what do you want to be? Where are you from? And it would just ask me the same damn questions I ask it. Nobody would give me any answers. I like this. It is philosophical, you know. A note in the bottle. I wonder what answers you're looking for.
Nobody knows what they're looking for, so
yeah.
They kind of pretend they're looking
in. Yeah. You send a note out to someone else in the world, and they're probably asking the same questions. So they ain't got any damn answers either. Brack, what do you think?
I think we should ask Sting. He's the one that wrote that song, right? Message in a Bottle? It is a philosophical idea, and I love going down that road. You know, it's just one of those things that you could twist and bend and spindle in 100 different ways. I think when I was little, I tried throwing a message in a bottle into the water, but, you know, the tide and everything, throwing it from the shore, you're never going to get very far. You know, you got to, like, drop it from a cliff or something and let the current take it someplace else, you know. But anyway, you don't know that when you're little. You're just littering.
just littering.
Well, you know,
that's
like
awesome.
Like you said,
like
it comes back to you, you know?
It's just an
awesome
boat. That's great.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. You know, you do it from a boat, it's going to catch a current and it's going to end up someplace. You know, the other version of that, too, they do that. They'll tie it to a balloon and say, you know, some people do that with, like, a return address and stuff. And they get asked them to mail the letter back to them to let them know where they found it.
That'd be too easy. Might take 100 years to get the bottle right across the ocean.
Yeah, now we got the internet. We could talk to, like, you know, the other side of the world, like Australia, in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, real time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Technology.
You find out what's going on down under.
Yeah, well, I was going to be in you long distance. You can go long distance, cost you a fortune talking long distance. And then we talk all over the world for nothing. It's amazing.
You couldn't even talk to Canada without paying a bloody fortune back in the day, I know.
You can call Louisville. I couldn't call from Louisville without a long-distance call. You know, it's long distance outside your city.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, you had to get the right calling plans.
The right calling plan. Yeah, we're back in
the day. I remember
all
those.
$30.
And then they used to do what they called slamming, where there's someone would actually call up and change your calling plan on you so that, you know, for the period until you catch them, you're on a different calling plan and your phone bill goes through the roof.
So our group, they never call plans.
Hold on, I'm going to say hi to AP.
Did somebody say Australia?
Hello. Hello.
Hey,
yeah, someone was talking about Australia.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I am.
I'm angry
I'm
at the studio.
Here, and it's pouring with rain. But apart from that, I'm good.
Well, I'm in the middle of a snowstorm. A little different.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I got
8 inches today. 8 inches today.
saw a
little different.
Do you get snow in Australia? Not
in
the
summer, they don't.
It's only a couple of very, 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 very low mountains, and they occasionally get snow. Well, they mostly get snow during the winter, but yeah, I have to drive 4 hours to see snow.
Okay.
Even when
Are you going to read your lovely new form and share your lovely thoughts with us?
Well, if that's the case,
absolutely. I'm very anxious to read it.
Well, because, you know, I sort of thought, well, there's not enough form poetry in the world, really. And
absolutely not.
You know, why not try something else? And so a quatern is where the one phrase sort of starts in the first line and goes to the fourth line by the time you get to the fourth stanza, yeah? You just repeat it.
Uh-huh, sure.
And so I thought, what about if you had a rotating quatern, which is where you use exactly the same words in that one repeating line, but they change spots each time you do the new verse,
right.
You see. You use exactly the same words, but you jumble them about each time. Does that make
4-3-2-1 or 4-2-1-3?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, like that. So let's see what you think of this, Sweet. This is
right.
A half of metal, following your image, of course, a rotating quatern, restrained by a half of metal cleats, wooden logs buckle as brays, while a shower of sparks repeats, the tiny flames etch their displays. Light is dispensed in snaking curls by a half of metal cleats restrained. Through smoky chimneys of whirls, evening with a book begins to fade. Sizzle of drooping sugary sweets, caramel drops singed black with fire, a half restrained by metal of cleats, perfume etches as evening escapes pyre. Sweet aroma of winter arrives, an acrid spray wafts as paths settle, sun smoked steeples while jives, cleats restrained by a half of metal.
Oh, I like it. I do like this a lot, actually. I like that you can change the words up in the very first sentence of each of the stanzas, because it makes it a little more interesting. I actually like that form a little better. I actually really do like that. I like that a lot. I mean, it makes this whole form has always kind of baffled me, but the way you change the words, it would be easier for me to do where you drop that sentence down each time with the words, with the ability to move the words, because I'm so much of a free flow, you know, I'm not so restrained. I think that might be a little easier for me to do.
I thought you might appeal. I thought it might appeal. I've never seen it done before,
I
thought it might appeal.
I like it. Because even though the words are very, you know, you're bound by those words. You're not bound by the same sentence every single time.
No.
So you have a little more play.
I
like it a lot. Yes, I do. Now, if I only understood the rest of it, I'd be okay. Because I don't understand the rhyme scheme or the syllable scheme or anything else that makes that particular quarantine or whatever it's called.
Quatern. Yeah. No.
Quatern. Okay. Thank you.
I don't know. You can get away with three verse. You don't have to have rhyme. Number one.
Okay. I didn't know that.
You don't have to have it rhyming. And most quaterns are 8 syllables long per line, but again, you can have that go to pass as long as it's got reasonable rhythm.
Okay, so it's an 8-syllable count. Okay.
It is.
No, I'd like to try to keep it within what it's supposed to be, even if it's allowed no rhyme.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, you can go without rhyme. Yeah, yep.
Oh, I did not know that. Because you have rhyme, sort of. Even if it's a little slant.
Well, it's
well,
sort of what
nice...
I do. I pick up a piece of paper and I just rhyme.
I know.
It just happens that way.
I don't do that very well. I write stories, but I don't always rhyme.
I just pick up a piece of thing and it rhymes. It's just what it does. Thank you.
Pick up things and they rhyme. But I like it. I like it. Very good. So I'm very impressed by this. And WaveJet, your thoughts on this?
Yes. Well, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, good, thanks, Wayne. How are you?
I'm getting better. I'm doing much better. Anyway, your poem, I think it's a wonderful poem.
Sounding good.
I like the style in that poem. That's kind of like what I like to write in. It's a great, great read, and I love the storyline. Good job with this. Have a nice evening.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Cheers.
And Rack and Tor.
Yeah, I like it a lot. By keeping the syllable count close or exactly the same, I think he did it exactly the same throughout. You don't even have to rhyme, like you said, and it flows. And I think that's the key, you know, especially if you're going to go free verse. But you know, you chose to rhyme, and the moving verse. It's kind of, it feels like a song almost, you know, when you do that, I don't know the numbers or the counts, but you know, if you did something like, you know, to the pattern of a melody or something, it would flow, you know, just like a song. So it lends itself very well to the auditory, you know, what I'm trying to say, if you try when you rotate it, depending on where you put it, what do they do it like 1-3 time or 1-4 or 1-5, you know, that beat,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you can move it around similar to that. And then you'll have your own time to it. You know, you could do like a 1-3 and you, I'm saying quatrain. How did you pronounce it? Quatern, not train. Okay. Quatern. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm horrible when it comes to the technical. I might stumble across a pantoon or something, but you know, I could never do it intentionally. I don't think I probably couldn't do it accidentally either, because that's a difficult one. But you know, form poetry is the bane. I'm pretty much an AB or free form. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It had a beautiful flow to it. I like the use of a cleat, because for me, my head goes straight to the foot gear, but you know, a cleat isn't only the cleats on the bottom of the shoe. You know, a cleat holds two things together with wood and things like that. So it's a beautiful word to use for something like that, because of the multiple meanings, and you know, that really tickles me whenever I get stuff like that. And you brought in a little metallurgy with heating it and stuff like that. So you know, you really got me going with this. It was nice. I enjoyed
thank
it very
you.
Much.
Thank you, Rick. No, thank you.
I I've got to kind of jump on what Rick is saying, because outside of the technical kind of thing that you brought to us in your form, I wanted to kind of go back and talk about how you really, from a poetic form, it's stunning. I mean, the imagery you bring in, the sights and sounds and smell and the taste. I mean, we're smelling the smoke from the fire. We're feeling the warmth from that fire. We've got the sugary, you know, sweet of the caramel, and you know, you've got the perfume, and you know, we all want to be around that fire as winter is going whirling about us, you know, outside. And I love the evening with a book begins to fade. I really love that line. So you've got, you know, your talent as an amazing poet is also wrapped up in here. And I really thought that the poem itself was beautiful as that, outside of the other technical stuff that we've been talking about. I really enjoyed
thank
the
you.
Poem.
And you did see I made sure that I put sweet in twice, once in the
poem. Yes, I did see that. Thank you. Yes, I did. I did see that. Thank you very much. The sweet aroma of winter arrives. It's just stunning.
The thing he does that I love, if you didn't understand the words and you just listen to the cadence when his voice goes up when he reads it, because obviously he reads it properly, you could almost tell, you know, the beat. You could tell which direction he's going, and it flows so evenly. You know, you could hear it in his voice. There's a definite pattern to when you read that, you know, and that's, you know, the meter and the cadence is just, you know, that's what I really appreciate, because it's not easy to do all the time, especially when you're trying to tell a story, you know, but you managed to do that consistently.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I've sort of got a 2-4 beat sitting in the back of my head most of the time, and it just sort of rolls to the 2-4, so.
Yeah, I wish I had some kind of beat, but I don't. I think I'm just kind of like, yeah. Yeah. The only time I ever have any kind of semblance of, you know, this is A equals B equals C equals this is how it's going to be, is when I'm in a boardroom. That's the only time. Other than that, I'm like a flighty, like, hey, look at that color. Isn't that pretty? Put me in a boardroom and I'm all business. Other than that, hey, purple equals green equals blue. I'm all happy. I don't know why, but that's like creativity comes to me. But screw up, and I'm an HR nightmare. So hey,
okay,
that's good.
Interesting.
You wouldn't know it.
Interesting.
Why is that interesting? Yeah. You don't want to screw up, but that's why in 25 years I've never ever lost even so much as an unemployment case.
There you go. That's a pretty darn hot record.
It is. I like to take pride in that. Thank you very much. From EEOC down, never once.
Undersweeted.
Undersweeted is right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I'm brilliant. No.
No, it's amazing what you can reflect on that you are good at or have pride in sometimes, and it's not necessarily the things that you'd immediately first think of, but certainly in America, and I operate, as you know, in New Zealand, Australia, and America. America is a heck of a jurisdiction to get through in its different forms, so that's an amazing record.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. The expats aren't always that great to work with either, so.
Even in the States, we have kangaroo courts, AP.
Yeah.
Well,
actually, Aussies are fun. I've never had a problem with any of my Aussies. I've had a lot of problems with others, so.
Australians are interesting negotiators, right? We you know, there's a whole heap of different negotiation styles, but Australians are interesting. We tend to not be too ridiculously silly.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now your New Zealand partners are a little bit, they're party hardy.
Actually interesting, Sweet, how different Australians and New Zealanders are. And it is not well recognized, but my friends in New Zealand are substantially more pedantic than Australians. There is a completely different way of viewing the world in New Zealand.
I would not disagree with that. But you know what?
I say that with love for my New Zealand brothers and sisters. But they're just different, and people sort of think sometimes if they're dealing with Australians and they're dealing with New Zealanders that they're very similar, and you couldn't be further from the truth. It's like dealing with the Norwegians and the British. We happen to be close and we speak somewhat similarly, but we are completely different when it comes to business and getting things done. Absolutely, completely different.
It's just like dealing with somebody from California and dealing with somebody from New York.
Yeah.
And let's throw in somebody from
seriously.
Let's throw somebody in from Kentucky totally. Yeah.
Yep.
Be in a room with somebody from California, New York, and Kentucky, and you ain't getting nothing done.
Well, that's it. And you know, I think a lot of people make assumptions about New Zealanders because, you know, they're a small country and all that sort of stuff. But they are very, very different about how to think about things. And the more you understand New Zealanders, the more you understand how different they are. Because, of course, I'm on a board over in New Zealand as well. And, you know, we're negotiating a new contract with the New Zealanders as it speaks. And holy cripes, it's hard work.
Are they as fond of Vegemite in New Zealand as they are in Australia?
Well, it's interesting, Rack, the Australians tend to, you know, have a brother and sister organisation that we deal with in New Zealand, and all of those Australians are sort of have got out of their arrangements with New Zealand because they've all found it too hard, yeah. So we're sort of sitting out there alone as having the only sort of relationship amongst all of these clubs with New Zealand, and we intend to keep on doing it. But they negotiate very hard and they are quite ferocious in coming up with alternatives.
Yeah. But the one thing about New Zealand and even Australia, and like, they don't really have the insanity like we do here in the States, where like literally across the border of state where all the rules change.
Yes.
Literally,
well, no,
you can have
a set of
rules.
That's right.
I mean, California has one set of...
Yeah.
California has
that.
A set of rules for their labor people and
Yeah, but what they do have, though, Sweet, and this is a real problem, and they get really upset about this, because they're not that big, they don't have a lot of ships go down there. And so when you have a ship shortage, which is where we are in the middle of at the minute, they get the short, sharp end. And so what the shipping companies do is, instead of, for example, deciding to land in Auckland, they go 200 miles up the coast to Whangarei and drop everything at Whangarei and then expect you to come and pick it up from there. And it drives the New Zealanders spare. But, you know, the shipping companies have you over a barrel because they know there's not going to be another ship there for 2 weeks, so they shut up it wherever they like, and that's exactly what they do. But if you want to ask the New Zealanders about it, they'll tell you that you know, the next thing they want to do is, you know, storm the shipping company headquarters, you know, with whatever guns they've got, you know.
Yeah.
Wayne, good night, Wayne. I hope you feel better, darling.
Night, Wayne. Oh, feel better.
I'm feeling good either.
Good night, Wayne.
He's sounding better than what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have the same issue here. I mean, not that they're going to drop a ship anywhere. It's just we can't get anybody to unload them. Our shoremen are just...
Oh, right.
We just don't have people working. Yeah.
Oh, wow. No. Well, they've got plenty of people working in New Zealand. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to chase the ship to wherever it stops.
It's like calling the ice cream man.
Insane.
It is. No, seriously. Yeah, it's like the ship just decides, oh, look, I think I'm going to go to Whangarei today. Okay, bang, bing, bang, out, drop, bang, and there I'm gone. I'm back up to Singapore again before you know it. And you say, where's the start? And he said, oh, it's 200 miles up the coast. You're like, what? Oh, okay. God. No railway. Don't be stupid about that. You get a whole stack of trucks. Put a whole heap of containers on trucks and take them down the road, you know.
Three trailers long.
Far out.
Anyway, it's a nightmare.
The glories of doing business.
Anyway.
No, the glories of doing business in New Zealand.
Well, I've never had to do that. I just deal with personalities on this side of the ocean. So.
No.
It's more fun that way.
No, I get it. Sorry. But anyway.
I left operations. I jumped into HR for some strange reason, but operations was for 20 years, and then I went into HR. So that was my
plan. Uh-huh.
All right, so yes, I was a weirdo. And now for what else? Poetry. Now I'm in poetry. Poetry. All right, Rack, I'm going to throw you up.
The business of rhyme.
Catter, is that you? I hear you coughing, but I don't hear you. I don't see you on my phone. It just says, hey, cough,
cough. No, I didn't have much voice.
Hey.
I didn't have much voice.
Hey.
When he
I miss my voice and my beautiful Dev. Everybody's been out sick. Seeing that, are we doing anything tomorrow night there? You and I?
I've got no idea. Well,
what are we doing tomorrow?
If you want to, sweet. I mean, we can do something if you want to.
All right. I don't
sweet
know if we can do a special edition.
Sweet and dour? We can do sweet and dour unplugged.
Okay, we can do that.
Which basically means we've got nothing organized. You know, we'll just make it up as we
nothing
go along.
Nothing organized.
We'll talk about,
we can do that.
We'll talk about New Zealand
what do you
and containers and employment. No, but no idea.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Strange trade embargoes.
Let's talk about an Air Force that has a flightless bird as their logo.
See, now, Rack, you're going to get New Zealanders really upset if you start talking like that.
I know.
You know, so we had, Rack, I'm here to tell you that we had a television show on advertisements, right? We're talking advertisements, yeah? And you had to pitch an idea for an advertisement, right? So a TV commercial, yeah? You had to pitch an idea. And we had, the thing was, you had to come up with an idea for a new public holiday for Australia, right? And
Kiwi Day?
One of the crews said, let's just do an Invade New Zealand Day. It'll take less than a day. We'll just go over there, take it over, blast it away, because they've got no Air Force and they've got no Navy and whatever else, just lots of resources and stuff. And we'll just take it over in the day, and then we'll have a new public holiday, which is the Invade New Zealand Day. And they did that pitch for the commercial, and it turned into a major diplomatic incident. The Australian minister over in New Zealand was called in to see the Prime Minister, and it was taken very seriously, Rack. So don't even say that, because we've been there before.
Okay, I'll take it back.
Absolutely, I would, you know, because the New Zealanders will just get very, very upset, and we can't have that happening.
No, don't do that. We don't want to upset New Zealand at all.
No, we don't want to. No, we don't
at all.
New Zealand. Exactly right.
So, we don't want to.
We're all about good diplomatic relations.
No, well, that's
yes,
exactly
we are.
Right. You know, we've got.
All right, so what time are we going to start off, Sweet and Dour?
Oh, we'll do an hour show. Sweet. Yeah?
Okay. That'll work.
What do you think? Yeah? We'll just work it out as we go. Yeah? But we'll go for an hour.
All right. I can do that. Well, now I'm going to do another poem because that's what we're here to do, believe it or not.
I think so. That's
yeah,
right.
I think so too.
And by the way, you are right, Rack. That, you know, New Zealand has only 11 Beechcraft T-6 training aircraft, which could potentially have a weapon on it. The rest of them don't have any weapons. That's all they've got. That's it. Thanks for coming.
Okay, well, I'm going to read this. Got to get a link to my show to Jethro.
Yes.
All right, well, let me read this, and I'll work on getting a link for Jethro. This is Frozen by In Chains. Frozen moments packing ice, but yet dripping dust upon my soaked blue gown. I still remember hemorrhage of sugar-coated words spilling out from my waterlogged mouth. Statue beneath the light of gold hickory moon, wearing off-white wrist bandage over a three-piece suit of old battle scars of shingled wounds. My mind sculptured life as hell, inscribed cryptic calligraphy across pathway to heaven, where wrinkled angels with bated breath once more morsely sighed. Frozen moments where my long porcelain peached fingers detached crisp pink petals from a dying rose while blood dripped spots upon my, I'm sorry, I don't know that word. Anyone want to help? Decollagated, heavy, heavily covered jaundiced yellow. End poem.
Decolletage.
Lovely English word.
It's a low neckline on a top or a dress. Decolletage.
I apologize, Joe. I did not know that. Decolletage, heavy upon covered John DeShello. Poem is beautiful. I love cryptic calligraphy. Across pathway to heaven, where wrinkled angels with bated breath once morosely sighed. I mean, again, I love the way you write. And I love that picture and that blue dress, by the way. I had one that looked like that once. You just have this way of bringing life into such... Or dark is actually such beautiful light. And it's to the Frozen Here on a Ladder of My Life by Sir Elton John. But I really think that this one is actually kind of one of my favorites. I like the way you speak of it. The colors, the way it just kind of, it's dressed. It feels like a dress, the way it's going throughout your body and the way it talks and the way it sings in a way. To what you're talking about, and it's I don't know, it just kind of affects me, and I will go ahead and quit rambling on about how much I like it and go ahead and go, hey AP, what do you think?
It's got a lovely sense to it, hasn't it? It's a great image, but it the way that she uses her words, the moon wearing off white, isn't that cute? And the cryptic calligraphy across a pathway to heaven and bated breath once morosely sighed. It's just got this it's almost holding of the breath sort of sense about the poem. And it's such a great line, the Elton John line, frozen here on the ladder of my life. But it is even better, the line before, I'm growing tired and time stands still before me. I've always thought that's such a brilliant line. So, yeah, great song, great line. And the Joe's poetry is always really interesting and a great use of words. And this is a great example of that.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoy the way she writes as well. I love the subject that she picked, frozen moments, because, you know, for me, it evokes the thought that she's kind of carrying through. The piece about when you have that moment in time in your head, you know, you remember every little detail, especially, you know, what you were wearing. You know, I could tell you, you know, the car accident that I went through, I could tell you, you know, just about everything that went on. I mean, it's just one of those moments that kind of stay with you, and all the details are there. But, you know, the other thing that she does that's beautiful also is, you know, like AP mentioned, her word choices, you know, you use a metaphor. You honed in on the cryptic calligraphy. That's a beautiful turn of phrase, because, you know, when someone says something, you know, and that's sweet, sweet way, but that's not really what they mean. I mean, that comes out, you know, it's beautiful words, but, you know, when you add the word cryptic to that, it's like, you know, it reveals the true intention. So, you know, you gotta actually, you know, pay attention to the whole little sentence and not get swayed by the beauty. And that personifies the whole thing. You know, I really enjoyed this show. And, you know, again, like you always do, it was a beautiful piece.
Hello, sorry about that, guys. I'm still here. I'm still here. Okay. All right. Hopefully I'm still here.
Say, I'm still
all
here.
Right.
Open gym.
Yes. So where do I go from here? All right. Team voices. Let's see. I got to put that up. Okay, that's the Jethro, that's your link. Link to the show. If I'm not an idiot, link to the shoe. That's what I heard. All right, there we go. All right, and next I'm going to throw Rack up there, Rack and Tour. Let me grab your poem. All right, yay, I'm doing so well today. Oh, my gosh. I'm not doing well at all.
Well,
if everybody's listening, you will know. I am not doing well. This is not my best show. I do, but this is not my best.
Still actually being able to be there, you know, so don't be hard on yourself.
I'm going to try not to be, but, yeah. It's not one of my best put together. I know. I was so, like, thrown out because of the whole, my show didn't work to begin with when it, like, totally threw off my game. I hate that. Like, things didn't work to begin with, and my game is thrown off. Okay, Rack, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to press your go button. So here we go.
Food for Thought by Rack and Tour. I do love my pasta, but I try to watch my carbohydrates. The first step to being healthy is to watch what goes on our plates. Tubers have feelings and potatoes have eyes. They give their life happily to become a plate of French fries. Vegetables are delicious, so I prefer mine on the side. My tastes lean towards animal flesh, prepared barbecued, roasted, or even breaded and fried. Wrap it all in bacon, cover it with cheese. Be sure to practice moderation rather than risk heart disease. Count your calories, watch your sodium, be smart if you dare to indulge. Otherwise you risk losing sight of your toes beneath your belly's bulge. Do what makes you happy. You don't need to compromise. You can satisfy your taste buds and your heart with diet and exercise. And poem.
Oh, that's what you think. Diet and exercise. What are you thinking? Oh, no, I like this a lot. Still don't think I'm going to do it to diet and exercise. Oh, I was on my treadmill today.
The hamster wheel.
On my treadmill, running through Italy. I like my little iFit program. Tubers have feelings and potatoes have eyes. They give their life happily to become a plate of French fries. French fries. But we all know that it's very difficult for me. You know, every time I eat cow, I feel like I'm eating my sister. But boy, I love it. I feel like this is like a New Year's like resolution poem. Like, okay, guys, 2022, we all have to get back on the treadmill. We have to make sure that you're not doing this because summer bodies are made in the winter. That's what Mom used to say to me all the time. Don't wait till spring to want to get your bathing suit. Your summer body is made in the winter. Yeah. But anyway, I love this. My taste leans towards animal flesh, prepared barbecue, roasted, or even breaded and fried. I love fried mushrooms. I always said that counts as a vegetable. But I'll try to go along with you. Oh, thank you. I should hang this up and put it like in front of my treadmill. Go. All right. I was going to say, hey, Rack, what do you think of your own poem? But AP, what do you think?
Well, I was going to ask you a question, sweet. That, with the lobster and the steak on the one plate, what would you call that? Do you have a name for that?
Surf and turf.
Surf and turf.
Ha! That's what we call it. Really much better. So, yeah, with the surf and turf there, I'm a big fan. I you know, let's be honest. You know, if you have a lump of eye and you put that next to a properly grilled piece of lobster tail, there's not much better in the world. And I agree, just having lemon slices there, perfect. Maybe a little bit of pepper sauce, but I'm you know, splitting infinitives here. As to the poem, it's a bit like that, really. I would be splitting infinitives if I was to criticise, because I agree wholeheartedly. You know, just bring on the beef and bring on the protein, and if you happen to throw some fries at it, then I'm actually really happy about that. But everything else, you know, you'll get some exercise done at some point in time. Just give me the steak. End of comment.
I got no beef with that.
It's true.
Thank
and
you.
I have, and
thank you.
Good Lord, don't kill your meat. Please don't, like, make it so dark and chewy and charred. Because you're just killing it.
Don't even get me started.
Medium rare for me. Medium rare for me.
Medium rare, thank you. Oh, yes, please. Oh, anything past that is just a sin.
Now, if you want to bring up the museum, you got to mention that lamb.
But I was going to say, Zach, my 16-year-old daughter, it's got to be blue. Like,
my goodness. I ordered that in Hawaii once. I said I wanted it black and blue. Oh my God! It was almost steak tartare.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed.
That's exactly what it is. You put it on the plate. It's got a singed outside, and the rest of it's still moving.
It's like they pass a match over it. Oh my goodness!
That's where my
steak tartare is a little.
Steak rolled in. She loves it.
You have to get used to it.
I'm drinking it.
Not something I'm particularly care for.
Steak tartare. Very fond of it. Very nice.
I've had it a few times. It's not my favorite. I like good medium rare.
Yeah.
I like good medium rare, but...
Rare.
I'll tell you what, that lobster looks really good. I can go for the lobster.
Yeah, with you there.
Lobster looks...
love my crust.
Good. That's what I'm having. I'm going to have crab and lobster for my birthday. So I'm very excited about that.
What sort of crab are you having?
I think Dungeness. I think I'm going to go with the Dungeness crab.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm not really sure. It's either going to be Dungeness, maybe blue. I'm not sure. I go to this really great restaurant. And it's basically they give you a bag, and you get to pick your season. It's like a Cajun kind of restaurant, and you can have a garlic Cajun or you can have a spicy Cajun, and they put like 2 pounds of whatever you want in a bag, and they shake that bag up, and they give you a bib and a bag, and you just eat straight from the bag. You get a bib in a bag, and on a, you don't get plates, you just get food.
Right.
And you, that's it. Just delicious.
So you put the feed bag on.
Pretty much. And then like all along the side of the restaurant, it's a very beautiful restaurant. They have these lovely sinks with, hand washing statements or, stations, and these sinks are gorgeous and the restaurant's beautiful, but they don't offer silverware.
Right.
All these people, you dress up very nicely, and then they're all covered in Cajun spice up to your elbows. But then they come and, you have all the nice soaps and everything, and you wash at the very nice station. It's very nice.
I'm very fond of Sri Lankan crabs, and so, of course, I go to Singapore for those. So I've put an image of one on the board.
I don't think I've ever had that.
You should.
Well,
pepper crab.
I think I should.
Pepper crab. Oh, God. Anyway, that's Singapore pepper crab.
I am going to have you read a poem for me, Mr.
Sure.
AP, if you could be so kind.
Spoken about Sri Lankan crabs, I'll do anything, really. Give me a Sri Lankan crab, I'm very happy.
All right. I will have to try and find that. Don't know if there's one around, but...
They're not easy to get. Well, not from America, anyway. It's a fair distance. Anyway, here we go. There's a poem up on the board, which is Four Seasons Rain Symphony by Robert Pilecki. And I'm assuming that's the one you want me to read. Sweet.
Correct.
Excellent. Okay, well, you have to bear with me for a while because it does have a series of intermissions and spring and everything else. So it will start off with one, intermezzo, and it goes a bit like this. It begins. A whispering in the air echoes through the silence of trees and the audience. Tinkling sound. As the first pearls of rain drop onto the water luster. Chopin's raindrop prelude, instruments tuning, each droplet an instrument in the orchestra. The sound like a glass tinkling of champagne flutes. Lilting and clear, sound intensifies. A huffing wind crescendos as the sheet of the rain nears. Two, spring drizzle. Spring misty rain falls down, frail as a Scottish smur. Thinless and glistening raindrops fall, wiping off the night's stillness. Foggy dew like a warm butter melting on the face, the melancholic cry of a lonely fox echoes through the silence of the trees. Debussy, Jardin sur les pluies. Violin's dark timbre and the clouds weeping, teardrops from the sky. Three, summer rain. Summer rain descends in a gleam of silver drops, sparkly and effervescent. Bubbles hit the skin, a wall of cool refreshment. A huffing wind rises up, stirs the leaves, the rows of rain on the roof full of ghosts. Tap and sigh upon the window glass as they listen for the reply. Droplets fall in a rhythm, become the song. Foot, 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 like ripened nuts hitting the ground. Four bearings beat the rooftops. Vivaldi, Baroque, Concerto, watch out for its thunderstorms. They dance in the rain with clouds at your heels. Four, autumn storms. Autumn skies are vengeful. Shouds of clouds coil and rise, race across the sky, thrumming. Charged energy desperate to release. The rain sissing and hissing, teeming onto the spongy earth. Caterwauling sounds fills the air, Beethoven's pastoral. The wind whips up into a frenzy, shrieking omen of the carnage to follow. Starts with big sopping drops of moisture, wild and indiscriminate. Plump missiles of mass destruction splattering onto the soft soil. Then a cacophony of sounds follow. The conductor loses control of his orchestra. Five, winter debut. Winter sky is a widow's tomb, bedarkened and weeping. The crabbed, cracking, cool clouds cough out great gouts of water. Balloons of sopping moisture, a Noah's Ark cataclysm, pouring down in a biblical deluge. An unending cataract of water looses from the sky. Gutters like tumbling waterfalls, don't dare to go out and close the gate. Grab a snuzzy blanket, pour a glass of wine by your fireplace. Stare in someone's warm eyes, hear some quivering and tremble in Purcell's Baroque songs. End poem.
Wow, that's beautiful. Definitely, it's just rain in each season. I thought he did a beautiful job. I love spring. I think it's my favorite, the way he describes spring. Spring and summer. I love rain and spring and summer, too. Well, AP, it's raining, you said, in your summer. His musical, does it sound? I just thought it was beautiful. I thought this was a beautiful poem and how he divided rain sounds and the musical tones and the orchestra. And I thought he did a beautiful job. I think this is a lovely poem. Just beautiful. And it is a front page pick, and I think it's well deserved. Okay, so back and forth, your thoughts on this?
I can't help but quip about being flooded with emotion. You know, I'll pain you further and say I enjoyed the flow. But in all seriousness, it's stunning. And I mean, there's a philosophy behind it that strikes me more than anything, because I think in terms of the circle of life and the way things, like the water evaporates and it goes back into the clouds. So this could be like the same raindrop throughout the entire season. You know, it always makes me wonder, because the water hits the ground, the water evaporates and it goes back into the sky again, and then it repeats. And so that circular thought stays with me for some reason. But the difference between the rain and the seasons he captured, who I'm sorry, I didn't catch who wrote it, but I mean it was absolutely stunning. There is a definite difference, not just an emotional difference in the feeling of the rain throughout the seasons, and they captured that beautifully. The whole piece is, I think it was Vivaldi, because he mentions the orchestra had a song called Four Seasons, right? That's Vivaldi,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I almost would say, it's the rain throughout the seasons. Yeah, I wouldn't exactly compare it to it, but I could see the musical connotations behind a lot of the water too, because it is very musical. It's absolutely fun.
That's awesome. All right. Let's see, what else do we have up here? We read that one. Let me see, see who else I can get you to read. I've got you reading here. Looking. I think I will have you read Buddha. Amadeus wants to read, and I'm not gonna let that happen. I don't think I would be able to understand him anyway. So I'm just going to keep having you read again. AP, you're reading along.
No problems at all. We can do that.
All right, there you go.
Well done. I'll just make sure that I can. Okay, cool. We've actually got it now down here. This is Osculation by Buddha. And it goes a little bit like this. Drenched in dewdrops of frozen splendors, ruffled and parched for the hunger of another, are the vagrancies of depleted vesicles searching for home. As mercury drops centigrade, the inner combustion boils over into a rotisserie of sampling. Erupting frolic and fulsome burning embers breach the brim, in a cascading fusillade of force, to brink of confrontation, in pump.
Wow. That is beautiful, Bud. Beautiful is my word tonight. Erupting frolic and fulsome, burning the embers reach the brim, in a cascading fusillade of force. I love the quote, "It's no flakes or kisses, I'd send you a blizzard."
Mm.
Well, I guess he just did, didn't he? Yeah. I love that quote. I think that's perfect. Well, there you go. And everyone, say hello to Pretty Bird.
Hello, Pretty Bird.
Oh, she was there and then she's gone. I hope she calls back.
I heard something. I hope so too.
She was there.
Well,
she went away. Call back, Pretty Bird.
Yeah. You're seeing things.
I'm not seeing things. I know. I just saw her. I just said hello to her, and she went away. Pretty bird, to me. Oh, now I'm very upset because she was just there. All right, back to the
window.
Pretty bird. Okay, Rack, tell me about the poem.
Tell you about Pluto. Oh my goodness. You know, he has a way of capturing a scene that's just beautiful. I don't know where to begin. Like you said, you know, he wrote perfectly to the quote. That there was one point, because you know my mind can't help but think about food, where he mentioned the steam almost. And it made me think of when you try and roast something and you do it wrong. That you're not roasting, you're steaming because you're crowding the thing. But that's just my brain, and I know he likes to cook, so he'll probably get a chuckle out of hearing me say that. But, I mean, the overall thought of it was beautiful. And, you know, and it's just my warped mind that had to drag food into it. But anyway, to me, kissing is kind of dining out anyway, so there you go. I enjoyed it, though.
All right. Let's do it one more time. We're going to try one more time. Say hello to Pretty Bird.
Hi, Pretty Bird.
I swear.
Hello to Pretty Bird.
I swear it's her. She's not talking to us. Wait, let's try
again. Can I say something about the poem?
Yes.
Wait, that's okay.
Absolutely. AP, it's all yours.
Thank you. I really liked the use of assonance here. Sweet. Drenched, gives you that solid D through to dewdrops. Frozen through to splendors. Suppled through to parched. Hunger through to another. Constantly through the piece, it actually reinforces the same sound in a word that's very close by, and it gives it a sense of motion within the poem. Very cleverly written. Very good assonance. There you go, in common.
I would agree. Oh, wow, that is beautiful. All right, so next I am going to put up Phil the Poet. And I have no idea what's going on with the other thing. Don't know what's going on.
With the phantom Pretty Bird calls.
Yes, the phantom Pretty Bird. I see her and then she goes away. I see her and she goes away. So I don't know. I'm just going to go, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So it says technical difficulties. Okay. So I'm not crazy. I know I saw her name.
Yeah, next you're going to say you see Hatter.
I do see Hatter. I see Hatter every night. So that's okay.
There you go.
All right. So here we go with Still the Poet.
Yes.
All right. And here we are.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Troika. Sleigh bells jingling on horses' reins, in tune with the voices of praise. The choir proclaims that Jesus reigns, the voices setting our hearts ablaze. The horse's breath from icicle patterns, the hooves echoing in the evening air, led by the swinging street lanterns that captivates your childlike stare. The moon greets the evening with a smile, the stars glisten off the silvery path, as we lay back and ride on in style, lazily observing street life of this and that. The man drinking vodka with a beer, children learning how to skate, the laughter shows they have no fear as a dog barks at the drunkards at the gate. The lights of the houses illuminating the streets. Laughter and cheer explode into rapturous joy, eagerly awaiting for the new year to greet as music spills onto the street from the Bolshoi. Finally, we have come to our final abode, into the warmth of a blazing log fire, lying together, wondering what tomorrow will behold, soon forgotten as the heat raises our desire. and poem.
I love the way Phil tells a story. This is just warm and lovely and full of fun. But I must confess, I would fear a man drinking vodka with a beer. I'm glad no one in his story is afraid of it. But I am a tad bit afraid of a man drinking vodka with a bear. Just saying. But this is beautiful, Phil, and thank you for bringing it to this show. Rackendor, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the way he tells the story, too. It was very Winter Wonderland to me. He painted a beautiful scene. You know, I could almost see a cartoon in the background or, you know, a black and white film from you know, the 60s. It's really beautiful, you know, the imagery that he brought forth. And, the vodka with the bear is kind of clever, you know, because the bear being Russia and vodka being Russian usually, so... Not exclusively, apparently, but, you know, it just, you know, kind of enforces the thought for me. And you know, if you're going to be drinking vodka, you might as well drink it with a bear, right? but, you know, I enjoyed it. Thought the whole thing was beautifully written.
And Mr. AP, your thoughts?
It is a cute story, and it is, you know, a very sort of interesting combination of Phil, which is it's always the sort of the English eyes on the Russian scene, and he always comes up with some interesting interpretations and things that he finds because he observes very closely. So it's always interesting, and this one completely fits that bill.
Awesome. And then I have one more for you to read, Mr. AP. I'm going to have you read your voice out tonight. I'm telling you what. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, my eyes are broken.
I appreciate it. Well, you're a good commenter and a great listener, so I need that too. And I'm not going to say it, but if she's here, she's here. She can say hello at any time.
Yes.
I am here. I finally gave up on my computer.
That was the Christmas.
My Bluetooth driver took a crap, and I've been dealing with it for an hour, and I finally gave up and just called in on my phone like I probably could have done an hour ago.
It's okay. I just wasn't going to say anything. They all think I'm crazy, but... All right.
I was trying.
AP, go ahead.
It is.
Go ahead and read, darling.
Okie dokie. Well, this is Just Another Christmas Song by Jethro Adel Cielo, and it goes a bit like this. People keep asking how the holiday's been. I decided I'd record an answer. Here it is. Transcription of lyrics. Daddy's riding home for Christmas this year. Wonder if I'll get a reply. Now, here on the Western Frontier, the postal system works, so not every time. A lot of letters reach us too late. The guy's already gone to ground. So here I am trying to say, but I don't have the words to say. Little boy of mine, tell Mama to tell you I love you so. Oh, wonder if she can afford a Christmas gift from me. For out here, them bullets, they're all a-whistling, each of them carries a painted-on name. Yesterday I was safe, yesterday I made it fine. None of them bullets' names painted on were mine. That isn't to say won't be coming tomorrow, so I'm just writing this letter while I can. And if I ain't home for Christmas, tell Mama to tell you that's all right. Papa will be home any time soon, any day now. Might even be home for Christmas Eve. Meanwhile, I'm in there, out on the fields of war, ducking bullets with painted on names, wondering which one has mine painted on, and when I get lucky, I get on burial detail. That way I can have the time I need to say fairly well to a few friends who had their names painted on that day. Because Daddy might be home for Christmas, Lord knows I'll try. But if I ain't, tell Mama to tell you that everything's going to be fine. there's going to be nothing I wouldn't do to go home in time for Christmas, my baby boy, but it's impossible to always get what you want. But I'll try. I'll try. I'll try my best to be home by Christmas, my son. And hey, you little one, tell Mama she's loved and that love can overcome, and tell her this. I hope I'll come home. I hope I'll come home, baby girl. I hope I'll come home. I love you so. See, they got this bullet thing here where they paint names on, and you never know which day they paint on your name, but I shall try my best anyway. Be home, be home, to be home. Be home at Christmas Eve. By Christmas Eve. End point.
Oh, wow, this is fantastic. A beautiful story, a beautiful... I mean, it's almost a tearjerker. I mean, this is a wonderful story. It's sad. It's...
So
wow. Yeah, it's... it reminds me of some people I know are in a place that where they do paint their names on bullets and they don't know what day that, you know, could be their day. And it's heart-wrenching. And, you know, that you hear that maybe I'll be home on Christmas Eve, maybe I'll be home on Christmas Eve. And I'm sorry I couldn't get the SoundCloud loaded, Jeff Lurie, with technical difficulties in my studio time, too. But I'm so glad AP was able to read it now. Wow. I'm kind of speechless over this. It really moved me. And it's just beautiful. AP, you read it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's a beautiful case. It's a very affecting piece emotionally when you read it. And I think it's because everybody can relate to that sense of loss and that sense of potential foreboding that's out there, that's explained so well by the names on the bullets. And just that repetition just, I think, is very, 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 very well done. And it just creates this sort of sense within the poem. And it's hard to get a feel for that until you read it, but it just has that real sense of connection to the reader, and I don't know why, but just some poems do. This one does. So, it was a great poem to read.
I would agree. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, it's easy to be a little blue during the holidays and you're miles apart from your loved ones, but this really kind of brings you into the reality of what it's like in the field. Things that we get the luxury because they do what they do to not have to think about, especially during the holidays. And it's all family and family drama and all things that, in the grand scale of things, don't really matter much. Well, family matters, but, you know, the drama, not so much. And, it's solemn and it's warming and it is apprehensive and it is loving and that's kind of scary. That there's that the only reprieve he gets from the fear or wonder when his time will come is while he's burying other people, and it's beautifully vivid. It kind of pulls you right in and takes you to that place and puts Christmas and the holidays in perspective, and it's just not something that is in the forefront for those of us that aren't closely tied at the time. And he did a beautiful, beautiful job of connecting that to us all.
And Raggy Tour.
Yeah, it's just very, very sobering. It starts off, you know, two little things for me. the action movies where, you know, there's always someone making, you know, a quip about one thing or another, and, you know, the bullet's got your name on it. And he took that to a whole new level because, you know, I imagine, you know, and I've only seen it in movies, I've never been involved in war or anything like that, but, you know, there are people that do write names on bullets in a literal fashion, but, you know, metaphorically, taking it to that level really made this piece very impactful. The other thought that really permeates this too is, you know, I'll be home for Christmas. So he's writing a letter to his daughter. You know, I want to say, you know, she's probably a little older, you know, based on the subject matter. So, it, you know, the absence, you don't know how long they've been apart. It's just the idea that, you know, that longing to be home. All kinds of crazy thoughts comes into my mind with this. You know, the imagery of what's going on takes away a little bit for me from a lot of those little details, but my crazy mind wants to answer those questions, which is what makes me, compels me, you know, when I'm listening to him to the whole thing and reading through it, it's like, you know, it really sucks me in because I've got those thoughts and questions that he's bringing out with the imagery that he's presenting, you know. It's like he's mentioned his daughter. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. He's talking about bullets and war. She can't be that young. So, and how old is the girl? You know, all these little things. So I start looking for details to piece the whole story together and draw my own picture in my brain. But, you know, he does a beautiful job with the story in this. It was really great.
Excellent. So we have a poem on the board from Hatter, which Pretty Bird is going to read at his request.
And it is an honor to do so. And it is called "And I'm Still Loving You" by Jay Hatter. I came across a piece of ink hiding in the sand. I spent it on the thought of you, I know your man. What was once strong and surely gone, it whispered. I cannot believe you and me playing such a game. The dreams have gathered beyond the dark, pretending to be free. I turn to walk, start to run, wishing you were here with me. I cannot reach beyond my view, for all I need is there with you. I pray again, these words don't end, and I'm still loving you. And all.
Well, Prebird, you read it, so I'm going to let you go ahead and have the first word on.
I'm sorry, what? You wanted me to comment?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. It was all garbled in my ears because apparently technical difficulties are just where I live right now. Not my apologies. I love a whistle hatter. If there's a beauty in the way he writes when there's longing that is relatable and kind of gets under your skin and makes you revisit those moments that you were in that same place, in that yearning, that pain, the place where you don't want to find the new normal because you want the old normal. And he has a way of just kind of weaving that through your flesh almost as you listen to the words or read the words, and it's lovely. I love a whistle hatter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard this a couple of times, and my biggest quote to him is, please never stop talking to me so I can always hear the sound of your voice echo in the wind, you know, smiles, tears, and love exist. And I still feel the same way about this poem. You know, I hear Hatter and know that smiles, tears, and love exist because that's how he writes. And that's how I feel about my Hatter. And, AP, your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll say something slightly different, that Hatter has known ears and love and hugs and joy, and he still believes he will know more. It's just that at the minute it isn't there, and in the absence of it,
he writes incredibly powerfully about it, not that.
And, Rakan, who are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like what he did. The Scorpions have a song called Still Loving You, which is a statement. So by posing it as a question, adding two simple words, am I still loving you, gives it an entirely different feel. It's very melancholy, it's wistful, it's beautiful. It's Hatter.
Absolutely. Okay, so up next is me. This is one I wrote not too long ago for a contest. Crying on broken shoulders. Teardrops rain past the shoulder bone. A refuge once, now a shattered home. Water drips into lungs, struggling for the next breath. Choking on crackling ribs. Pain grins, willing death. Ebony shadows crept into years of bliss. Hate and resentment became the lover's kiss. Closed eyes ignored signs of broken vows. Love endures. Holding hands, they take their vow. End poem.
This breaks my heart a little bit, sweet. So I'm just going to jump right in there and start talking. There is that pain from the very beginning, from the teardrops on the shoulder. But it's that second line, a refuge once, now a shattered home. You know, it's not always easy to find a safe place to feel, a safe place to cry, a safe place to just let things out, and to have that place become unfamiliar and broken is a very powerful image, a very powerful feeling. And for any of us who know what that feels like, it's an instant rush back to that unfortunate position, and it's one that I don't wish on anyone, because it's hard to trust after that, and it doesn't matter how much you want to, it's just a difficult task to gain that back. But this part, crackling ribs, pain grins, willing death. You know, pain is not my friend. I don't think pain is anybody's friend, but there's something sinister about it grinning. You know, and it's hard. And when you're the one wearing the grin because you're smiling through it, it turns you into somebody you never wanted to be. And it's like a thousand layers of broken in a brevity. And so it's a very powerful, powerful piece. And it breaks me a little bit to read it. Which is a sign of talent, young lady. So, Rack and Tour, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of beauty in this, in that, you know, I mean, sadness aside, when you experience something that can be taken as a metaphor, it's really kind of a sobering thought. You know, you talk about cracking ribs. You know, if you go through something like that, and then you're able to put it into words, that there's, I think, more of a connection to it, knowing that someone went through something like that. So, you know, it makes it very personal and very moving and emotional. But, you know, you talk about ebony shadows and a couple other things that just, you know, the teardrops in the beginning are plain enough, and then, you know, you just kind of layer it on and on and on and just until the final bow, and you know, it's very sobering to think of, you know, going through something like that and having that kind of an experience. You know, it kind of makes you sit back and look at your life and almost fear what's next. Is beautiful and sobering at the same time.
Thank you.
an AP yourself.
Well, isn't it interesting because it's such a powerful piece and yet it's written third person? Pretty good. And mm-hmm. almost always when you have that connection of pain and loss and feel it very deeply, it's almost always first person that something's written in because you relate to something because it's written in that very personal sort of style, and yet it's managed to get that same effect through the words and the third person approach, which is technically a very interesting thing to do.
Thank you. You know, there's something interesting about the point of view that this is written in, because while oftentimes there is that kind of wee bit of a disconnect or distance between that third person point of view, sometimes it feels more like a cushion, you know? It feels like a cushion for pain, that if I don't name it myself, it doesn't hurt as bad to see in words. And, you know, I could be absolutely wrong, but that if you read my stuff, you'll see sometimes that's my truth. And so I tend to see me in everything because I absorb things through my own experience. But because of that, I think that it is even more
poignant.
It reaches more deeply. Yeah, thank you. And that last line, by the way, sweet, I'm not sure which way to take it because I see it two ways. You know, there's pain with closed eyes ignore signs of broken vows. But then you've got love endures holding hands. They take the vow like we have won over the pain, or I still love you, but I can't. And either one of those is powerful in and of itself, but they're the opposite of each other. And so today I am choosing love because I will not cry. So back to you, my friend.
Did you read the author's notes at all?
No, I can't see them. This is a tiny little crappy screen.
Oh, it's written to the prompt, but love is blind and lovers cannot see, by William Shakespeare. And, of course, I added, see what you see and feel what you feel. That was the contest. So that's all I say. See what you see and feel what you feel. So,
and so today
I like your interpretation
love.
Of the last line. I felt the double entendre when I wrote it, and I was like, I wonder how they're going to take that. And I don't know. It can go either way. And but love is blind and lovers cannot see. So it just kind of, I wrote it in that kind of veil shadow type of thing, because, you know, the answers are never clear when things like that happen. And you can go on years trying to battle it out, you know, and one day just walk away because you just can't take it anymore. So you just don't know. All right. Now, to move on to something happier.
Oh, then don't put me up there.
Well, but you're next. Okay, on to other things.
Oh,
how's that?
Okay. Whatever you want.
Pretty bird snack. Pretty bird snack.
I couldn't choose between the two, so your choice.
You're going to choose now.
Slipper Kern.
What?
Heads I win, tails you lose.
My choice. I hate when you make me pick. Hey, AP, you get to pick.
Yes.
A or B? A or B?
B.
B.
B. Okay. B. All right.
So you get to hear me crappily sing. Aren't I lucky? Here we go again.
I don't think. Are you singing this one? Oh, I guess so.
Only at the beginning or at the beginning of the end, little parts. It's mostly a normal poem.
Okay. I like this song.
It's not like
this
whole
one. It's kind of creepy. That's kind of creepy.
Bit.
Yeah. I like it though.
So,
This is supposed to be all minor and like a slow kind of dying music box, but I can't do that with my voice, so you're just going to get whatever and it goes like this. This is From the Shadows, She Will Rise. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna make the truth absurd. If the truth won't go down soon, learn to put your mask on with super glue. But the only way to remove super glue from skin is to soak it in acetone honesty that bites a tongue just for the flavor. Iron-fortified sutures fashioned from wasted veins of empty ink that stop bleeding useless drivel still hold the memory of blistering thoughts and rip silence through torn skin, cracking neglected plaster that's never seen Paris. Layers of skin save hindsight views untainted by blue skies, bleeding sunsets through reality's ironic humor. The salt of sweat and grimy tears desiccate plastic smiles, burning deeper layers of flesh with the cracking agent gas. Decades of truth and gnarled betrayal wash hope clean into the stain, but skin can't breathe through accurate questions. But people speak in tongues twisted. Paint me a smile from incarnating wounds. Emancipate the air that holds my breath, where death carries the scent of heaven and apple pie. I smile, despite knowing it will tear layers of rotten flesh from the cracked porcelain promises. The pain always catches me off guard. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Gonna make the truth a lie. I'll teach you how to speak in broken words and mold my little angel into pretty birds. And Paul.
Oh. Oh my God, it gives me a chill every time. Oh, I love that. Oh, like I said before, please take me into your playground. Please. I'll follow you anywhere. Oh, God, this is just such a wicked poem with so much. Oh, people speak in tongues twisted, paint me a smile. And, oh, God. You know what? You have this way of just taking people by the tongues, pulling out by your throat and stuffing it back in and say, tell the truth, I'll rip it out.
Here, eat that.
Yeah, it's just bleeding sunset through reality's ironic humor. I just cannot say enough. I loved it from the beginning. I want to live in your fabulous, creepy little mind. I don't know where you got that picture, but it's just iconic. And, yeah, and the way you sing, the hush, little baby, it's like, ugh, but I do enjoy it. AP, would you like Pretty Bird to sing you a song to sleep tonight?
No, not really. No. I mean, I've already said before when I heard it that it's sort of like something out of The Shining, you know, that's sort of coming at you. It's sort of understatedly sort of evilly creepy. And it's sort of completely appropriate for the piece. And very early on this week, in fact, at the start of the show, we had a line from the Elton John song called Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and I'm going to quote a line to finish my comment, because it sort of feels like that in this piece, and that is, although I search myself, it's always someone else I search. And
wow. That doesn't fit this. I don't know what will. Excellent. And everyone, I want you to say hi to Kim. She is joining us. Hello, Kim.
Hi. Hey, everybody.
How
Thank
are you?
Hello. Hello. Okay. Hello.
Hopefully, we can hear Kim.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You guys hear me?
And
hello.
Okay.
Yes, we can. Okay.
I just got home from surgery today.
Well done, you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling well enough to call.
I would have called earlier,
well,
but I didn't see it till right now. Because I just got home like 10 minutes ago, maybe.
Well,
Well,
of course, you're addicted like the rest of us. Well, we haven't read your poem, so I'm glad you called. Prever just finished hers, so I'm going to get a comment from Raconteur about her poem, and then we'll get yours on the board. Hey,
okay.
Rack, what'd you think? Okay, Rack, what'd you think of that pretty little poem from Prever?
Oh, there's so many bits of brilliance in this that, you know, like you said, I think I can't say enough kind of sums it up. I love, first off, that, you know, the subject matter is a bird. or part of the subject matter, I should say, that this is a song choice. And the idea of it being like a broken music box, you know, meant to be sang poorly, kind of adds to the creep factor of it. And you know, the whole fact that it's broken to begin with kind of speak to the tone of the piece as well. So throughout, you know, the sentiment, it just carries through and magnifies what it hits in the end. that closing line that was just beautiful. I mean, it's got no right to be so dark and so beautiful at the same time. It really doesn't. But, you know, it's thoroughly enjoyable and thoroughly creepy and beautifully dark.
Thank you.
Like our pretty bird. Beautifully dark. All right. So, Kim, you caught the last few minutes of our show, but you are going to be put up there. All right. Good night. Good night. Good night, AP. Thank you for being here. I greatly appreciate it. And I will see you tomorrow night. We're going to have to take the time. Yeah.
Bye.
Let me know what time. Okay?
Normal time. Today's time.
Night, AP.
So, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
Come on up with me.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. Bye, everybody.
10 o'clock?
Good night.
All right, I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time. All right, bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, let me find Kim. Kim. There you are. I love that treehouse picture, too.
Yeah, cute one.
All right. Yeah, it's beautiful. There's my dog barking in the background. Good old Amadeus. He has his own hashtag on all poetry. I don't know why he's got to say something right now. I guess he's saying goodnight to
you.
Just a second.
Okay.
He heard you mention the tree. He's got to go.
I know.
He mentioned the tree.
All right. I guess so. There you go, dear. You are up, and we are ready to hear you.
Okay. It's called Behind the Disguise. Now placed upon this pedestal, my life plays out on show. Even one tiny mistake will let down everyone I know. The shiny wooden cabin feels much more like a cage. Not a home or sanctuary. I'm a player on a stage. Kept in this hardwood mahogany box, one way in, one way out. Trying to live up to what you want while my soul's etched with self-doubt. Satin ivory-coated silky skin, deep sienna lines each of my eyes. Dusty rose paint on my smile, completing my perfect disguise. A true masterpiece on my canvas, painted over such engraved pain, trying to claw its way out from where it's embedded in my brain. The pure woman you are seeing is only a thinly masked veneer, trying to once again find myself, no longer knowing if she's here. The time I was gone, I was kept away because I was constantly black and blue. I was never angry or acting out. It had nothing to do with you. Always having to be perfect. It all just seems so fake. so much constant pressure, I know something soon will break and boom. And boom.
Wow, I really, really like this. I like, A, the flow, the cadence, and the rhyme. It's very emotional. It's, I like how you kind of describe yourself or someone in that, and I like the secure woman you are seeing is only a thinly masked veneer, trying to once again find myself.
Way out of where it's embedded in my...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to find who we are sometimes when we're locked away in a place we don't want to be, or with someone we don't want to be, or who's got us thinking we're not who we're supposed to be. I was in a really bad marriage like that for a long time and forgot who I was and what I was and who I was supposed to be. And I think this triggered a lot of emotional feelings for me, and it did a really good job. It brought out a lot of emotional stuff for me, and it's a sign of a great poet when you can do that, when your words can trigger emotional, aspect in someone. And this is very, it's got a lot of great imagery, it's got a lot of emotional bang for the buck in every word that you wrote. I really, really enjoyed it. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on that?
I'm going to say something that's probably going to sound, odd, so bear with me. It's almost pretty. And by that, I mean it's got a very kind of lyrical feel to it. And the rhyme has a very specific cadence that would normally elicit a lighter feel. But and the imagery itself for the first part of it, while it is leading into Solemn, is kind of self-reflective and kind of describing the scenario as far as with the cage and feeling like everything's a falsehood. But when you get to the last few stanzas, where everything kind of is hammered in to a deeper level of emotion, where it is damaging and it is and it's, you kind of own it, like it's very much that whole I was never angry or acting out, it had nothing to do with you. It is a sense of empowerment and pain, which is not an easy thing to do, because oftentimes when we're hiding behind others' expectations, there's a lot of shame. It's kind of beat into us. And so that was kind of empowering and kind of excruciating at the same time, which is that whole exclamation point at the end of this for me. So it kind of lulls you just beneath the surface before it kind of hammers you really, really deep in wounds that gave them. So it was well done.
Thank you.
And Rack and Tori, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just very emotional. The thing that caught my eye was in the beginning, or toward a little, maybe a third of the way in, but when you started talking about the mahogany box, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned the satin lining and whatnot, so it sounds like you're describing a casket. I really appreciated that. That was a wonderful way to kind of allude to it without saying casket. It's got a definite feel to it that carries emotion, and that statement at the end about it was never you, strikes me with that. I always think of that, the people that you care about are the ones that you expect the most from. So you kind of are less guarded and more emotional around them, because you expect that understanding from them because of the position that they're in your life. So, to be able to feel open enough to be able to, you know, display your emotions in front of someone like that and not be understood, really, it's a devastating thing, because they're the ones that should understand more than anyone. It's like you don't need to go into it, or, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm venting. It's not about you. I'm just trying to, you know, get it out of my system, and you know, you think I'm yelling at you, you know, but I'm not. And, you know, they're the ones that should understand that more than anyone. And when they don't, it really hurts, because, you know, you think you're at that point. But anyway, I appreciated the poem altogether. You know, it was well written. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. It was kind of hard to read. I'm sure you did.
You did a great job. First off, thank you for bringing it to my show. I really do appreciate it. I've got some for Onyx Blue that we're going to do now. So I've got a few more minutes, so we're going to get that done. And if everyone is ready, here we go.
In the 1800s, cowboys rode trails.
Oh, wait a minute.
They were like roads of today.
That's not the right poem. I apologize.
The wrong era.
That would be... Yeah, that would be the wrong. Maybe I don't. I thought I had him in here. Oh, come on. Oh, no. Well, Pretty Bird, would you like to read that for me then? I don't see him in here.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Amy.
My pleasure. This is Sequence Blue Tempest by Xylophonic. And it goes like this. Directional whirlwind, silence, secret windows stare, tornadoes thin chiffon canvas against the stone breakwater. Trees cease breathing, forced to rise by hills. Weather's hand broadcasts byways winding overhead. Warm, cold, wet, dry, bump, variable in the night air. Arctic temper down from the mountain. Whistling waters waiting between. Valleys winding terraces, unrelenting voices returning. Synapse shadows and fractured landscapes. Lurking foam down in dust. Curiously, not to look away. Do you feel it? A steady flashing of the swell. Glazed waves driving in front of the pier. Lapis lazuli steeped along the seawall. Blue has mirrored eyes first daybreak. Waiting for the end of their gaze. Inside, objects cannot tremble. Eyelids cannot shatter. Cobalt billows amongst stillness breathe. Deciphering eyes become thunder's hopes. Cornflower curator, flint on fire ignite, azure moon, salted pearls dance and shout, brace your eyes with ebb tide, chamomile rivulet pass, sweet jasmine sunset drowning out, bitter lungs perforated inside a blooming storm, weathered weight anchors the sadness of the sodden earth, honey's flavor mesmerized finding a favorite love. Cotton dipped in bottle of ink, slowly splatter sip. Nimble stratus left behind. Dark droplets, shingled stuccos stain my hand. Heaven's shower, nearly empty, settles down. Steamed fog, lukewarm liquid vanishes, waiting to forget. Waterlogged ribcage filled with ocean. Pulsating nature, the rhythm of time, rains, kisses, searing salt water, hail palpitates the lightning deep inside, breath
thus particles catch the light. Alabaster ivory holding the drops of the sun sent to save me evening time. Impulse.
Wow. This is another one of Blue's very, I like to call his poems dramatic. You know, if he brings you in and lets you live in his imagery and his metaphors, and, you know, the way he writes, it's like gliding, like on the air, on a wave. I mean, I love his use of language, his colors, and just kind of the way he flows you through a poem. This is just another one of them, like Sweet Jasmine and Bitter Lungs and Cotton Dipped and just, you know, I love Shingled Stucco Stained My Hand, Heaven Showers and Waterlogged Ribcage and Alabaster Ivory. I just love the way he uses words. I mean, he just has that way of, you know, that metaphorical way of bringing you in and just kind of weaving you through his poetry. And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, I didn't hear it too well. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Kim, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, that was so beautiful. I was just at the ocean, right by the ocean, so it was kind of brilliant at home with me, too. But the part where it says, heaven showers, nearly empty settles down, steam fogs and warm liquid vanishes, waiting to forget. That's super powerful to me. I have to try to not cough because I have issues everywhere. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's okay. You're good. You're great. And Pretty Bird, then, your thoughts.
I love that Blue wrote all the blues. There's like 50 different shades of blue in here, which is lovely, and I love a storm. It's my favorite thing to sleep to. I don't know what it is. I think my mom broke me when I was a kid. Because she would force us to take a nap when it was raining, because better that than be out in the mud, I guess. But so now there's something soothing about thunder and a hard rain, and there's beauty in this tempest. There's, you know, the way he describes it, tornadoes, thin chiffon canvas. You know, tornadoes are scary things, but how beautiful is that metaphor, you know? A chiffon canvas against the stone breakwater. You've got all of this in the trees, cease breathing. I love that because there's always that little calm before the storm, you know, that the wind dies down and then it picks up. And then when the strong is storm enough, because I live in the land, when the storm is strong enough, because I can speak in order, it's fine. I live in the land of hurricanes. So I've seen them kind of toppled over and ripped to shreds, and they cease sleep, you know, they are no longer alive. And it's just these beautiful metaphors that kind of twist and turn in sentiment and imagery. And it's probably one of my favorites. There's just so much in there. Curiously. Not to look away. Do you feel it? Well, yeah, sometimes you can't help but want to stare out whatever little sliver of stuff isn't covered by wood, because, you know, Florida hurricanes. And now they even make the see-through hurricane pane, where you can just see those lovely pieces of wood coming to try to shatter your house. And you can't stop. It's like a car wreck. It's horrible, but interesting and horrible. And this is beautiful and a little scary and still beautiful. And so I think he did a really wonderful job. It's almost like he loves storms when it's such as I do.
Yeah.
Now that
all right, and tonight we're going to... the last poem to end my show is going to be one of my favorites, and that's going to be Stephen. So we're going to put him up and play his audio. All right, so if we are ready, here goes Stephen to say goodnight to everyone. I had a hard time putting him in the studio, but I finally did. Now I've got to find out where I put him, that's all.
Look next to Kay.
I know. Oh, yeah. If I can find Kay, I can find Stephen. Oh, come on, Steve, where'd you go? Okay, here we go. Maybe.
Sometimes dead is better. By Stephen 76. As fleshless knuckles strike slab upon desires of reverse mutilation, monies made from furry two-fingered paw arrive for wanton debt's attenuation. Matriarch strides towards jams, a reunion of happiness is sought, patriarchal knowledge of tattered skin, eyeless skull needn't be taught. Scramble for deformity of single-digit panic, whispered wishes worth weight. As tottering hand reaches doorknob, turning skeleton key latch lock abate. Monkey fist curled and dropped to unfinished floorboards below. Knob is turned and doors flung open to dry leaves on cobblestone blow. End poem.
Well, this just scares the hell out of you, doesn't it? I'm just saying, this is just the best way to end the show is something from, you know, Pet Sematary and all of that. And he does a heck of a job doing it. Thank you, Stephen. I really am glad I got to end my show with your poem. I was waiting on it. Wanted to end with a bang and knew this would do it. Great right. I love Pet Sematary. Had such a great time doing it on their show the other night. And this is fabulous. Didn't let me down. Monkey fist curled and dropped to unfinished floorboards below. Now the stern door flung open to dry as leaves on cobblestone. Great run, great cadence, and just a perfect ending. So before I get comments, I want to say thank you to Rack for being here with me the whole time, and AP, his reading, Pretty Bird, and all your reading. And Tim, thank you for joining us tonight also. Thanks for everybody who wrote tonight. I really appreciate that. We've got people on the board tonight. I had Joe and Blue and Kim and Irish Rose, and I didn't get to Deb. I will be reading you tomorrow night. Irish, I'll be reading you tomorrow night, and Frank, I got you tomorrow night too. R.S. Morrison, I'll get you tomorrow night too, but Rack and Stephen and Joe, I got one of yours. I got both of yours. No, I got another one of yours tomorrow night, too. And Pretty Bird and Budo and Dwayne, thank you for joining me tonight. And Jethro, your poem was absolutely amazing. So thank you, guys. And be sure to listen to all the other ones we've got going on tomorrow night with me and AP on Sweet and Dour at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Love you guys very much. Thanks for joining me. And let's get some great comments on Mr. Steve's poem. Raconteur, your thoughts?
Sometimes dead is better. I, right from the title, I knew it was Pet Sematary. And he, you know, really brought the darkness. That was great. So I love the line about the monkey fist and the doorknob and all of it. I mean, it was just haunting. And comment.
All right. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, as soon as I saw that this image, and I can't remember his name, he will always be Herman Munster to me. As soon as I saw this, thank you. All I could see is little Gage back from the dead with, you know, slicing his Achilles in full Technicolor, and because that was like the creepiest thing to me. And so I was all up in it. Now I'm going to have to watch the movies. I haven't seen it in forever. But I love this. I love how it starts with fleshless knuckles, because how fabulous is that? You know, desires of reverse mutilation, because, you know, when you're hit by a car, you want them to be whole again, not so much to come back as they died. And I love this. I love the bits and pieces, these little snippets of images that just took me right back to the film and the book, and it was just wonderful and dark and creepy, and, you know, knob is turned and door flung open. I mean, it's just wonderfully dramatic, and oh, the alliteration, you know, and when that door flings open to dry leaves on cobblestone and blowing, and so now you want to know where the little dead kid is, because he ain't what you thought he was, and so that's not creepy at all. It's fine. It kind of leaves you with that feeling. It's awesome.
Insane.
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo?
In the shadows.
Where's Chase? Chase is in the shadows.
What's
the All
Chase
right,
again?
Guys, thanks for hanging out. Gage, sorry. I always want to say Chase. I don't know why. It's Gage. All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with me. My dog's telling me it's time to go to bed. Time to go to bed.
Yes,
ma'am. 9 o'clock, Mom. Time to go to bed. All right, guys. I will see you all tomorrow. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Yes,
I hope,
ma'am.
If not, have a great night.
Thank you.
All right. Love you both.
Night.
I'll talk to you soon. Good night. Bye.
I love you.
Love you.